See a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So the city does not need sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Thank you, Lord, that our future, our destiny is certain. Our hope is sure. That someday we'll be with the elders and the angels crying out, Lord, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Amen, praise and glory, and wisdom and thanks and honor, and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's a joy to be able to introduce Jen and Eric to you. They're going to come, and you've seen the signs. They're going to come and speak about Greek ministry. But I wanted to, I asked if I could introduce them, because they went to the University of Illinois. They both went to the University of Illinois. That's where I went. And I was in school about 14 years before them. And I remember when I was on exec in 1987, 1988, it was a specific prayer of ours as we thought about the campus and as we thought about, you know, we were asking students to move from here to there, because we didn't have a presence in this residence hall or that residence hall. And one of the things that we had as well, strategically, one of the places that we were missing that we realized was Greek ministry. We didn't have any presence in the Greek system. Now, Campus Crusade has some presence there. We did not. And I remember there was one person in our fellowship who was in a frat, and he was passionate about reaching his brothers in the frat, but we just didn't have any support systems for him. And so we actually said, you know, we think you're going to be better served. And this wasn't like we're pushing him out, but we just said, we think you're going to be better served if you went to Crusade. Because they have experience in the Greek system, they'll be able to train you well, and that's just not something that we have capacity to do as students, nor the two staff that were on campus. And we had a large ministry. And I remember that being just, that being painful to us as an exec team, having to encourage that person to do that. And we began praying that the Lord would open up doors and eventually establish a presence for InterVarsity in the Greek system at the University of Illinois. And so I remember when I first heard of Eric, I think it was first, because you came first, didn't you? Or did you guys come together? But when I heard of you guys at the U of I and working in the Greek system, I was just really encouraged, and I had heard over the years a little bit about how God had been faithful establishing a presence there through InterVarsity. I was really excited. So I'm thrilled to introduce you, and I'm thrilled to hear what you guys have to say.
First of all, thank you for praying for that before we even, were out of...
I wouldn't be here.
I was going to say out of diapers, but I guess I would have been four in 1988, so that would have been a little awkward.
You didn't wear a diaper.
Yes, but... It is amazing to look back and see how God did answer that prayer, though, and the ministry that we were both blessed to have at U of I. I think, it's just a great blessing that we're thankful to have had. But we're thankful also here to be today to talk a little bit about Greek ministry on behalf of all the Greek staff that aren't here, being the lone Greek, with the other Greek I have here with me. But as the lone Greek in the office, I want to say thanks on behalf of all those Greek staff based in Indianapolis at the Greek office there, and also all the staff across the country, for all that you guys do to make Greek ministry possible across the country. It's not possible without the work that you guys do, so thank you for that. And thank you for the time here today to share a little bit about Greek ministry in general. So You guys may have seen the signs out there. The intersection of Greek and Christian seems like a funny intersection. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but first just a little bit more about Jen and I, some background. You guys might recognize that. If you don't, that's
Cedar Campus.
Cedar Campus. And yes, we're one of those couples that met at Cedar Campus.
I said I would never date someone from Greek IV, and I would never be on staff, like a staff couple, but here we are. I'll never say never again. So.
That's just a little bit of background on us. Jen's been a campus staff with Greek IV for...
going on my third year this year, so I'm still figuring it out, but getting better at that, so...
And I've served as the Associate Director of Communications for a little bit over a year now, but it's been great being here in Madison and getting to work together, doing similar things, but different things at the same time. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about this intersection of Greek and Christian, and how many of you guys recognize the two characters present here? We've got Bluto Blutarski on the one side here representing Greek Street, and then Mr. Ned Flanders representing Christian Drive.
And despite the fact that they're wearing the same outfit, pretty much, they're very different characters.
They're very different characters, exactly. I mean, you look from the outset and you see this maybe guy is the guy here that embodies all that is fraternity for people who aren't in fraternities, who don't know maybe the Greek system. That's what they, when you say fraternity, you think of the movies, you think of old school, you think of the crazy parties, you think of the drunks, you think of basically everything that is that guy there on the left. Now, in a lot of situations, if you were to talk about Christians in a fraternity, it may be that the first thing that jumps into their mind is maybe the Ned Flanders picture. Maybe they think of, you know, the, oh boy, we shouldn't be doing this right now situation, or gosh darn diddly. But, you know, it's a caricature. They haven't seen that, what that looks like in flesh and blood, because, you know, it's basically kind of something they think it's closed off from both sides. They don't think that you can be a Christian in the Greek system, and Greeks don't think that you can be Christian and still be in the fraternity or sorority. And God has shown that it is possible to be both, and he wants there to be both. He wants to be people to be salt and light in the Greek system, and he wants to redeem the Greek system. So that's kind of a little bit about what we're going to be talking about, this intersection today. But we're also going to do a quick Greek lesson. So a quick show of hands, how many people here were in a fraternity or sorority? We've got one, two. All right. We thought we were going to be... You guys can help us out with these Greek things, because a lot of times, you know, the Greek system can be a mystery to people who weren't involved with it in college. It seems like this secret society behind closed doors and, yeah, Animal House embodied. So, some Greek terms, starting off with, we'll just go through them, yeah,
okay.
How about that?
So the term rush refers to the process of getting involved in a sorority or a fraternity. For girls, they call it recruitment, which is a little more formal, but yeah, it's pretty much the process of joining a house.
So like she said, for girls, it consists of a lot of meetings and really formal, getting to know yous and all these events and very, you know, by the rules. For guys, it consists of going to a house and having some pizza and playing some video games and finding out if you like the people in the house or not. So there's a little bit of that kind of
very different.
Girls has to be
work out, so.
Very formal, but they both eventually get you to a place. You find a community that's something you're looking for, and also they find the things in you that are a good fit. So that's that process. Pledging. It's not the wood cleaner that you spray and wipe off, the pledge. But pledge is when you, it's two-part meaning. It's when you join a fraternity, you pledge a fraternity or sorority. But also, it's your status when you first join the fraternity or sorority. And it's kind of like a trial period, you could say, as they're getting to know you and you're getting to know about what the fraternity sorority is about. You kind of learn about the traditions and history, and you also kind of get to do some chores and put in your two cents as you get to know about the fraternity. Chapter is a phrase we're familiar with in InterVarsity. It can also have two meanings.
So chapter either refers to a specific house on campus. So there, I was the Kappa Delta, that was my sorority, so there's different chapters of Kappa Delta houses all across the nation. Or it refers to a time every house has a chapter meeting once a week. So that's where everyone in the house is involved, and you talk about things that are going on in the house and kind of update.
Yeah. Business, they're sharing the business
meeting.
And yeah, airing grievances. Then the executive board is actually a team of elected officials in the fraternity or sorority who makes kind of the decisions, but they also manage the budget, and you wouldn't believe some of the budgets that some of these fraternities and sororities have with the majority. especially here, but the majority going to, a lot of it actually going to rather huge parties, but a lot of that also going to other membership development things and other aspects of the fraternity sorority. But the point is, the executive board, they're working as a team and they're developing a lot of skills that'll go on later, you know, to suit them when they go into the business world. And we'll talk a little bit later about kind of how leadership-focused fraternities and sororities can be and what we can, how that plays into the ministry.
Ghost brother or sister is a term that refers to a member of a house that kind of has gotten away from the house. Maybe this normally happens senior year. Sometimes at the UW happens before, like sophomore, junior year. But basically, they're still a member of the house, but they're not invested in the house. They're not spending time there. They don't have relationships with the people in their house. But it's kind of in name only. They're a part of that house.
And then,
which we see a lot in Greek ministry. It's hard to get them to stay involved in their houses.
And just kind of go off of that also, it's interesting because seniors and upperclassmen in the fraternity and sororities can often be the people, can be the one who have the most influence on like a pledge's life. Who they looked up to that person, they see him as everything that they kind of want to be in the fraternity, and they can have a huge influence. So when I joined the fraternity, I came in and there was a senior who reached out to me when I had just joined the house and invited me into a Bible study and just, you know, spent time with me. And I felt like instantly I was welcomed, recognized, and important. And that shaped the rest of my college because he wasn't a ghost brother because he stayed in the house and loved the house and wanted to see it transformed. So that's something, you know, that's a part of the Greek system, but it also can be something that can be flipped and used, like a lot of these things. Happy hour and FAC or FAC. Who's familiar with either of these terms? Anyone? Got one, a couple. They both refer to Friday activities usually. FAC, Friday after class. Happy hour usually think of as a certain time, but FAC is pretty much any time you're done with class on Friday.
And
you go to the bar, basically. That's what those events are. But Greek IV actually is trying to reclaim these terms by having meetings on campus by these same names on Fridays or sometime during the week where the core members get together and they pray for the vision. They go out to dinner together, and they have an alternative Friday night because a lot of times when you're in the Greek system, there's not many options besides going out with all your friends to the bar. So it's kind of something that we're trying to do to reclaim the terms and to actually have a real happy hour that doesn't involve some other activities. Exactly. And then lastly, tradition.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of tradition in the Greek system, and just like these terms that we're trying to reclaim through Greek IV, we can reclaim some traditions in different houses as well. So there are certain houses that going to Greek conference is a tradition in that house. And so having a house Bible study might be a tradition, whereas it might not have even been on the radar a couple of years before. So the great thing about houses are each 4 years you have a new kind of slate, even though there's people who have been there. So you can create your own tradition within each house.
So we're going to talk about kind of the vision of Greek IV in a couple parts, with that being lives transformed, Greek systems renewed, and world changes developed. It sounds familiar. We just tweaked it a little bit for Greek University. But Tim's a student at the UW, and Jen's going to share a little bit about it.
Okay, so Tim, he is a senior now at the UW. He came, he grew up in South Milwaukee and came to school, and as he says, he left God in his hometown, and didn't really factor in how God could be a part of his life in college. He joined a fraternity and lived his first couple years in college apart from God. And one night last year, it was before our first Greek IV meeting, one of his friends, Jimmy, who is our Greek IV chapter president, invited him to come to Greek IV, and I think he had been asking him for the last 2 years, and Tim finally said yes. And someone overheard at that meeting that Tim played guitar, which our Greek IV worship team did not have a guitar player, so that's a whole other story. But so they asked if Tim would be interested in playing guitar at meetings, and he loves playing guitar, so he said yes, not realizing he'd have to come every week. He'd have to come early, he'd have to practice, and then he'd have to sit in Greek IV and listen to the speaker. So over time, he heard different speakers that had impacted him where he was at in his life, and he went to Greek conference, and he joined a Bible study that Eric was leading on campus, and it was the first time he had ever studied the Bible. Like, he grew up in church, but had never even studied the Bible. And Eric would come back and be talking about how excited he was about being able to study scripture and to apply it to his life. Like, he didn't realize how cool that could be. So last semester we had Mark Slaughter came to speak at one of our Greek IV Wednesday night meetings, and Tim had an opportunity to accept Jesus and follow him with his life, and he did. And so he's been growing ever since, and instead of being forced to come to Greek IV because he, you know, said he'd be on the worship team, he's now leading the worship team, and he's on our leadership team. And yeah, so it's the same as it happens in any other chapter of university, but it had to happen through the house. Someone, a brother in his house, had to invite him. And if there wasn't a member in Greek IV in his house, we don't know if he would have. He wasn't seeking Greek IV, that's for sure. So, yeah, that's a story about Tim.
You heard a little bit about Greek Conference, and Greek Conference has been around since about, I think, 1994 was the first one. And Greek Conference, we now have three Greek conferences across the country, one in SoCal, Costa Mesa, Indianapolis, and Charlotte. And the Greek Conference is definitely a kind of a weekend road trip opportunity where not only people involved with Greek IV get equipped and learn how to lead Bible studies in their house and to do ministry in their house, but it's also a weekend where students who wouldn't otherwise maybe encounter the gospel are presented clearly with the gospel amongst their friends on a fun weekend where they have a dance party. I mean, it's always amazing. The dance party at Greek Conference is completely dry. Everybody's dancing, guys and girls together. Nothing's going on scandalous whatsoever. And it's just amazing. But, I mean, everybody walks out of that dance party and say, this is the best dance party I've been to in my whole life. And it's just kind of amazing to see that little snapshot that they just see a little bit like, this is what it could be like back on campus. They didn't even think it was possible because they never had a place to see it played out. But the Greek Conference is a place that's just been instrumental in a lot of students' lives. And
I went as a non-Greek, non-Christian my first year, so somehow I got there. Anyone could get there. So.
Wow. This is a snapshot from Alpha Tau Omega fraternity at Purdue University. And it was a house where, actually, that we're going to talk about a little bit later, how alumni got involved. But basically, an alumni helped pay for the cost of some of the students to go and said, you know, however many you can go, we'll help cover the cost. And the gentleman on the right there was one of those students that just took, you know, the opportunity for a free road trip, a good time in Indianapolis. And his brothers actually would have described him as something resembling that Bluto character we saw on the first slide. Just, you know, hard partying, not the last person you'd think would be going to a Christian conference on the weekend. And actually, at the chapter meeting, like we talked about what those chapter meetings are, during the time after Greek Conference, when he had the first chapter meeting back, they had a time for members to share, and he stood up and said, I found God this weekend. Will you help me change my life? In front of all his brothers, which is a big thing to do when people are talking about their weekend exploits, their relationships, and things like that. To stand up and make a, you know, profession of faith like that in fraternity house is a big deal, and it's great to see things like that happening in contexts like that. Like we said, the house is where a lot of ministry happens, and the house is where it's hard for ministry to happen or to get people out. I mean, Greek Conference is one of those opportunities, but for the most part, it's hard to draw Greek students out from their houses to come to a place to experience ministry. So we're going to take a little look at a video about how ministry can happen in a house. A brief segue.
Sunglasses, she wears the best makeup money can buy. Everyone knows Jane, but Jane doesn't know everyone. She has 2,000 Facebook friends. Jane's always ready for a good time. She doesn't make her plans until 11 on Friday night because she has millions of options. Jane is a social chair of her sorority because she has a contact in every single fraternity on campus. Jane never walks to class alone. If she does, she's talking to her cell phone. She strikes the perfect balance of being involved in her house and being way too obsessed with it. You see her working out, and the result is a perfect body, which only makes you wonder why it can't be so easy for you. Jane is generally liked and liked a lot, but you keep a respectful distance because she is a little bit intimidating. Now here's Joe. Joe Greek is the best looking guy you've ever seen, also in a really effortless way. And when he smiles, he's even better looking. He always looks perfect. He wears his clothes, the clothes would never wear him. And he would never really admit to trying to look good. It's almost like his collar automatically pops. Somehow continues to go over really, really well. Joe manages to go out until 4 a.m. every night and still maintain a 3.8 GPA while everyone else struggles to get a C. He's super involved in his house. He's the rush chairman. He'll probably be president one day. And now he's the intramural chairman because he's great at every single sport that he plays. We're talking anything from soccer, football, he even dominates the pool tables and the ping pong tables. Oh, he's got this really great SUV that he always can park in the best spot of the fraternity, but he really always gets the pledge to park it anyway. When he goes to work out, he works really, really hard, but he's always trying to be the poster boy. Not a meathead, more just toned. You know Joe and Jane Greek. They're your fraternity brothers, they're your sorority sisters. You eat with them, you brush your teeth next to them. You sleep right next to them in the cold dorm. Will Joe and Jane go across campus to a meeting where they might have to sing songs to God? Or will they, maybe, just maybe, go to a discussion about faith in God and comfort of their own living room that's led by you, their fraternity brother or sorority sister? You are their brother, and you are their sister, and you can lead them. Maybe. Just maybe.
We'll get there. There we are. So if you see one thing from that video, like we said, you know, the importance is where you're meeting these students, and that's in their houses. There's really no experience like that I've had on college that was like living in that fraternity house with 60 other guys, or how many would have been?
60.
60, yeah. I mean, yeah, every house has 60 members exactly, no.
just a house could have.
But yeah, I mean, doing every aspect of life with them, sharing every meal with them, you're always there. And maybe they're not going to come to the Greek Ivy large group that week. Maybe they're not going to, you know, spend a weekend going to Greek conference, but they are going to talk to you at 2 in the morning when their relationship falls apart. They are going to talk to you over lunch one time about, hey, what's the meaning of life anyway? They are going to be there for those conversations, and they want to have those conversations. So understanding and equipping our students to do ministry in their house, not to go out of the Greek system and just make it just another day and survive in the Greek system, but get equipped to come back and thrive in your house, empowered by God to do so. Sorry, this was just a funny picture I threw in there. Just to show that even at the intersection of Greek and Christian, there's still crazy, fun fraternity stuff. This was the annual quadathlon we did. My friend there in the middle, the brother in the fraternity, he invented it. It was a idea of a race on a Friday at the height of passing period on the quad. So everybody would be on the sidewalks, and we'd get in crazy costumes and have a race around the quad and basically be blasting music on the stereo just to show that there was still kind of crazy stuff going on. And people of all ages, these are new guys in the fraternity who were freshmen. We just invited them to come along, and they got plugged in and saw you can still have, you know, crazy fun, acting kind of stupid sometimes, but not in ways that put you in the hospital. Hopefully, in this race, you wouldn't end up in the hospital. But just to kind of snapshot that there's still, you know, still fraternity life. It's not, some people would think if they became a Christian fraternity, they'd have to stop, you know, doing anything.
Anything fun,
basically. Yeah. And just to show that that's not the case. National Invitation Week is a first that we're having this year. It's coming up the second week in November. And basically what it is, we're looking at, what if the question it's based around is, what if everybody involved with Greek IV made one invitation to one person in their house to follow Jesus? And what would it look like if we equipped them to have gigs leading up to that and had materials that kind of everybody in the country knew that Greeks across the country were having these conversations? And
I think one thing that this does, it's really helpful for smaller chapters, like our chapter at UW, because the students feel a part of something a lot bigger than just what's going on campus. So our students are really excited about it because they're not the only ones like stepping out in faith that week. They know that there are hundreds of other Greeks across the country doing that as well. This is the first year of it, so.
And that's coming up in the second week of November, and you can actually head to the Greek IV site to read some stories already that are coming about some of those invitations. Another aspect of the Greek system renewed, we're working on reaching new regions. Greek IV primarily started up in the Midwest in the Big Ten, campuses like Indiana, Illinois, and Purdue, but we're reaching out to new regions now in the Southeast. By numbers, the Southeast has the most Greek students in the country by far, but we don't have very much representation as far as Greek IV chapters. In the Blue Ridge region, we're starting to have definitely a lot of growth there, but at the same time, there's a lot of potential for growth in a lot of Greek students that they want to reach, and also on the West Coast in California, and also in the Northeast, and in fact, there's going to be a Greek conference in the Northeast starting in 2010 for a lot of the New England chapters that are seeing a lot of growth and a lot of interest in Greek ministry. Also, a lot of new resources being developed for the ministry and Bible studies going on in those houses so that students have, you know, Bible studies that help them and good things and resources from Greeks who know, you know, what Greeks are going to listen to and what maybe they're going to tune out because they can be fickle sometimes. And just a snapshot of the size of the Greek system across the country, there's 750,000 Greek students about on 800 campuses. So it's a significant group and it's a large group. This is kind of showing the history as far as Greek ministry. Back in 1998, Greek IV was on 7 campuses with 362 students in 40 different chapter houses, and there were 20 decisions a year to follow Jesus. By 2008, there were 64 campuses with 2,400 students, almost 300 houses, and 119 decisions a year.
Wow.
The vision for 2012 is to be on 92 campuses, reaching 3,000 students in 400 different houses, and seeing that hopefully lead to 250 decisions a year. Not that it's all about the numbers, but just knowing that if you know there's a need for Greek ministry, and if we're meeting those needs and providing the resources and praying that God would work in these campuses and in those chapter houses, looking at the growth that we've seen, that's what we're praying towards, and that's what we're hoping to see across the country in Greek systems. A little bit more about World Changers Developed. We talked about how there's a large, a lot of Greek students out there, but there are also a lot of them that are going to go on to be in pretty significant positions and kind of everything in the fraternity shapes you towards that with the exec board and with all these things focused on leadership and leadership development. And you can see some of the statistics up here. I mean, even though they're a small percentage of the population on campus, anywhere from usually 2% to at the most, 20%, they represent disproportionately leadership on campus and also then leadership at the next level. So they're already in some ways world changers, but looking at Greek IV, how can we make them world changers for the kingdom? How can we have them leverage that privilege that they already come in with and that they learn to develop in college for something other than just their own success and something like that. The alumni chapters are another thing that we're implementing to help these students kind of see what that looks like as they land in big cities like Chicago and Indianapolis. They get connected with alumni who are, trying to live that out in their jobs and are trying to, The point is they're trying to connect them safely when they come to these big cities, to have other people to talk to and share with those things. People from, even if they weren't from their school, that they can still connect with and meet with and feel like the big city isn't so big and they can, get connected with churches. They provide neighborhood guides and basically help soften that landing. I mentioned earlier the story about that Alpha Tau Omega chapter where some people got together and helped lower the cost for conference. And what we're calling this now is the Hufford Challenge. That's Todd Hufford on the right. And basically, he contacted a guy who was currently in the house, a student leader with Greek IV, and said, I've got a group of alumni together, and we're willing to, cover the cost for as many as you can get to Greek Conference. How many do you think you get? He said, I think I can get 30. And sure enough, you can see the picture on the left, he did, and that was the result of that alumni still having a heart for his house after he left, which is something that's a cool part about the Greek system Jen can speak to.
Yeah, just so you still have a heart for your house, you still have connections with people in the house, and it's something that I don't have with the dorm that I lived in, but I only lived there for a year, but I do have with my friends from my sorority, and my sister was in my house, and so I still know people involved in my house at Illinois, so it's a unique part of Greek life after college.
To find out more, like I said, there's a site, Greek Ivy Stories, where you can read about National Invitation Week. There's some stories related to that, but also just stories like the Hufford Challenge and other stories from across the country where alumni, students, and other people are sharing their stories of their experiences in the Greek system, and they're kind of as a resource and also for people to have an outlet to talk about what God's doing in their life and in their chapter house. So you can find that at GreekIV.org if you scroll down, click on the Stories button, and then, of course, as a communications guy, I have to do a plug. If you become a fan of us on Facebook, it's another way to stay involved and also to find out some new stories that are going on. And I know we're running low on time, so I'll just flash those up there real quick. Just some prayer requests. You guys could be praying for the funding for staff, both the new and those in deficit right now whose time on campus is limited. Also for Greek conferences in SoCal, Indy, and Charlotte. The SoCal Greek Conference is on October 23rd.
It's next weekend.
That's coming up very soon. And also for all those students who are getting involved in Invitation Week and all the conversations and discussions that are going to be going on starting now and those gigs leading up to Invitation Week in the second week of November. So thank you guys very much for the time.